You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Early estimates show that the number of people who died from a drug overdose in the U.S. last year totaled more than 72,000. According to the National Center for Health Statistics, nearly 68% of those involved opioids. That's more than a fourfold increase over the last decade and a half, and it's because of the scale and magnitude of the opioid crisis that some are looking at a less conventional method of treatment. One of those methods is called heroin-assisted treatment. Jonathan Calkins is a professor of operations research and public policy at Carnegie Mellon University. He formerly co-directed RAND Corporation's Drug Policy Research Center. He's the co-author of a recent paper for RAND looking into the effectiveness of heroin-assisted treatment. Jonathan, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
Well, talk us through how this heroin-assisted treatment might work for a particular patient in addiction treatment.
If you're familiar with methadone, in many respects, it's very similar. It's basically substituting the dangerous, impure, illegal opioids that you could purchase in a street market with medically supervised, pure opioids. In this case, it's heroin itself as opposed to a cousin molecule, but all those maintenance molecules operate on the same neuroreceptors in the brain.
And as I understand it, this generally wouldn't be viewed as the first line of defense. This isn't plan A. This is for the patients for whom methadone and those other options you talked about isn't working, right?
Yes, that's correct, in part because that's what's been researched in the past. And also, it's expensive, so you would try something like methadone first.
Where are people doing this around the world? Not here in the United States, but other countries, you write in this report, have been using this method.
Yeah, several countries in Europe and Canada.
And what kind of results are they seeing?
It stabilizes people's lives and reduces the amount of illegal heroin consumed and keeps people in treatment longer.
And that the risks of the illegal opioid seems to be a big part of the story here, where the person who's addicted getting these illegal drugs has no idea the potential dosage. It might be 100 times as strong tomorrow as the one they're taking today, right?
Absolutely, in part because it's often adulterated with fentanyl now. So the street heroin is more dangerous in the era of fentanyl than it was 5 or 6 years ago.
So we don't do this in the United States right now. What would it take to get from here where we're not using heroin for addiction treatment to where we are, to where we're at least piloting this?
So right now we could do a research pilot, but only that at this point, because heroin is listed under Schedule 1 of the Controlled Substances Act, which is a schedule for all things that are not recognized as medicine. It'd have to get moved over to Schedule 2, as cocaine already is. Rescheduling a substance is an administrative process. It doesn't happen very often, but it can be done.
A lot of people might hear this and say, wait a minute, we want to get people off of heroin. This treatment just keeps them on heroin. Is the idea that, okay, once we've got them in the door with these maintenance treatments, we can also be trying other methods to ultimately, hopefully, end the addiction?
The short answer is yes, but in no rush. The downside of having someone drop out and go back to using street heroin, potentially injecting with dirty needles, is so great that you don't put a lot of time pressure on that transition.
I think a lot of people look at this as kind of a form of moral surrender, I guess, giving heroin to a heroin addict. What would you say to them about the public benefit, public health benefits of taking this approach?
Well, the public health benefits are clear. You're going to reduce the number of people who overdose. You're going to reduce the spread of blood-borne diseases like hepatitis and HIV. And you also reduce crime because you're taking away demand for the illegal market. I understand that this is a difficult idea to get your head around. Methadone was controversial when it was first introduced, and for parallel reasons. This exacerbates the irony because it's literally the same chemical that they were seeking in the street markets, but the logic is parallel to what it is with methadone. One thing that's important to realize is that heroin is a very peculiar drug. It can kill you in a moment. It's very risky for overdose. It does not have long-term chronic effects on organs. It's like the opposite of tobacco cigarettes. Almost nobody dies of a tobacco cigarette overdose, but it's really bad to use it in the long run. And heroin is a peculiar thing, incredibly dangerous in the short term, does not cause long-term chronic damage to organs from chronic use. it's a peculiar thing.
I've never heard it put exactly that way. So that puts the urgency of preventing that short-term impact, the overdose death, really front and center. That is job number one in a lot of ways if we don't have that risk from the chronic use.
Absolutely. And the flip side of that is the health harms of using for multiple years, if the stabilization takes a long time, are a lot smaller than you might imagine. They're not zero, and taking any opioid over an extended period can increase sensitivity to pain, for instance. So it's not great, but compared to dying and the risk of overdose death is very high, as we all know, in this era, as I said, with fentanyl making it much worse than it was even 5 years ago.
Talking to Jonathan Calkins from Carnegie Mellon University. He's the co-author of a recent paper for RAND looking into the effectiveness of heroin-assisted treatment. You also, in this report, you and your colleagues, Jonathan, looked at supervised usage centers for heroin. Now, how does that work? That's different than what we're talking about with this medically-based heroin treatment.
Yeah, it's completely different. These are rooms where somebody who has purchased an illegal drug can go and use it under supervision. So if they overdose, there's somebody there with naloxone or oxygen or can call 911. And also inside the facility, there are sterile injection equipment to eliminate the spread of bloodborne diseases.
And what do we know about the effectiveness there? Obviously, you don't have that quality control that you do from the prescribed heroin. You don't know what they're bringing in, right?
Correct.
So what in places that have tried this, what kind of results do we see in terms of effectiveness of preventing overdose deaths?
So there's never been an overdose death inside one of these supervised consumption sites. What's less clear, and it's just the nature of the research evidence and the absence of randomized control trials, is how big a beneficial effect they have on use that continues outside of the facility. Most people who use these facilities use them for only some of their use sessions, and it's hard to know for sure how big the impact is on whether or not they change their practices when they're using outside the facility too. But at least no overdoses inside the facility, and you also can connect the people with services. You can give them clean syringes. You can sometimes get them referred into treatment. So it can also be a hook into other services.
And you mentioned the lack of randomized controlled studies. It seems like that would be difficult to do for a lot of potential heroin addiction treatments. Is that does that make it more difficult to research the issue?
Yes. It's easier to do a rigorous study of an individual-level intervention, like heroin-assisted treatment, than it is the opening up of an entire facility. And the facilities have been opened up. Again, it's Canada and Europe primarily, but also Australia. They've been opened up in response to crises, not as part of a research program. That's why the evidence is favorable, but not as rigorous in a scientific sense as the evidence on heroin-assisted treatment, where it's very strong evidence.
Now, as someone who researches public policy, you and your colleagues have put out this paper, it seems, saying that there are these clear benefits, especially to this heroin-assisted treatment. Do you see this as something that policymakers in the United States would be willing to pursue?
I think there's a good chance. The opioid crisis is so horrific that I think it's important to be open-minded about trying things that we wouldn't have felt compelled to try before the overdoses exploded the way they have.
We'll leave it there for now. Jonathan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That was Jonathan Calkins, professor of operations research and public policy at Carnegie Mellon University. He's the co-author of the new report we've been talking about from the RAND Corporation looking into heroin-assisted treatment and supervised injection sites aimed at helping avoid deaths from opioid overdoses.